come get some. And we're back with another Taiwan English Gamers podcast, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in for another episode. This is episode 36, and today is October 15th, 2015. My name is Johan Foster, and with me tonight I have Matt Chisholm.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
And I have with me Michael Chen.
Hey, guys.
And also Addison Dumkey.
Hello.
Hey guys, it's totally Mike's birthday, so we can't start this episode and not sing the birthday song. So we're totally going to do an episode, a birthday episode for Mike. Are you guys ready? Let's sing happy birthday. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Michael. Happy birthday to you. Woo!
This is good radio right now.
That's awesome. Mike, how did you like my Facebook message?
My Facebook I did not catch that. My full attention is on this podcast.
Your birthday message.
Yes.
I told Mike, congratulations, Guardian. You've now reached light level 28. I actually couldn't remember how old you were, like 28, 29. I can't remember. You're 29?
You nailed it. No, it was 28.
28. Ah, oh, yes, got it.
Just a baby.
I don't feel like it.
Anyway, we're a small little podcast from Taiwan, and you can find us on iTunes. Just go search for the Taiwan English Gamers podcast. We have a little blog on WordPress, so go check us out. Just find us on the tegpodcast.wordpress.com, and you'll find the RSS feed link there if you want to drop that into your podcast client or whatever. And last but not least, you can find us on Twitter at tegpodcast. Also, I have to mention that our Facebook page is now live. Not the Facebook group. This is the TEG Podcast Facebook group. So you can find us at, just search for the TEG Podcast and you'll find us there. Please go like us. I'm going to make an effort on putting on the episodes there as soon. They'll probably be one of the first places you'll find the episode. So I figure that's probably one of the best ways to get our podcast out there is to make a Facebook page. And we've got about 18 likes when I checked last, and it's only been up for, you know, a few days. So please go like us there. That's probably the best thing you can do at this point is go like our Facebook page. So once again, go search for the TEG podcast and go find us there. Let's start the episode, as we always do, talking about what we are playing. Michael, since it's your birthday, how will you tell us what you're busy with?
No surprise, Destiny. But I did try the Final Fantasy 15 demo.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoyed it, actually. I went into it not knowing anything. Like, I didn't see screenshots or videos or anything. So I was pleasantly surprised. The graphics were amazing, of course. And the gameplay is what kind of... Gameplay is what really... is what I really loved about it. Mm-hmm. It was just really fun.
Yeah, we talked about it a while back when Warren was still on with us, and he had like a lot of positive things to say about it. How did you like randomly, you know, start playing this demo? What? How did that happen?
Well, Addison had it downloaded on his account, and I know, like, ever since I heard about that demo, I've been meaning to try it, and he downloaded it like a couple weeks ago, and I've been meaning to get around to it. I just never found the time because of Destiny.
Uh-huh. Is that available just on like a North American PSN now? You can just go download the demo?
No, you had to buy Final Fantasy Type Zero.
Okay, yeah.
It came with that, and I'm a big Final Fantasy sucker, so I, of course, got it.
Okay, so when you bought the game, it had the demo linked to your account, and you can just, Mike, just download it like that?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Addison, you played the demo. What did you think of...
I did not play the demo, and my reasoning for it is I don't generally play demos for games I'm going to buy 100% for sure. The game anyway, so yeah. Why play the demo and just have to replay something eventually? I did cave, and I watched the ending where you get to summon Remu.
Yeah, I did see that too.
And that is just so cool. I can't wait to do that in-game.
Yeah, I, like I said before about that game really confused me. I couldn't understand. It's like, it's this fantasy world, but it's also kind of, you know, current. Like, the guys are sitting on, like, Coleman chairs and stuff. And yeah. I don't know if that was, like, just placeholder textures and stuff. I just found it really, really weird.
Like, when I saw that part, I was like, wait, is this Final Fantasy? It's kind of taking me out of the fantasy world.
Yeah, did you see that, actually, while you were playing the demo, Mike?
Yeah, like, you're just, like, you play as this one guy, and you're with a group of guys, and you guys are, like, camping or something. I don't know if you're camping somewhere.
That's hilarious. Anything else, Mike, other than Destiny and Final Fantasy demos?
No, that's it. But I will have something new next week.
Yes. Spill the beans.
Life
oh, I know. It's.
Did you download the new patch?
No.
It just came out. I thought you'd get really excited because they have the patch for the next episode.
It's probably automatically downloaded, but that's always...
Oh, Life is Strange.
Yeah. Life is Strange. The end.
That is coming out next week. Another game I just want to quickly throw in there before we go on to Addison. Addison, I'm going to ask you next, but before we go on, since we're talking about games that came out and are coming out soon, there is a game called Don't Stop Talking and No One Explodes or something. Have you guys heard of this?
I saw your friend posted it, and I watched the video on it. It looked really funny, actually.
Matt, have you heard of this game?
Yeah, I've heard about it. It looks pretty interesting.
It's that it's supposed to be made for VR, but the idea is the guy with the VR goggles, and apparently you can just play it on a PC or whatever, but the idea is one person's looking at this bomb. He has to defuse the bomb by, you know, doing a bunch of things, turning knobs and cutting some wires and pushing some buttons and flipping the thing over and reading a text and, you know. And on the other side, people who cannot see the screen, they have a bomb diffuser's manual, which is a PDF apparently you can download. And so the idea is you are, as the bomb diffuser, you're stuck in a room and you have to communicate with the other people and you have to tell them, like, okay, this dial is on this, is going left and there's two buttons or two yellow lights or two green lights on and then there's zero lights on and one, two. It's like a binary number. And another one, there's like a blue wire, a green wire, a red wire, and a blue, green, red. Which one should I cut? And then they will check the manual, and they'll kind of figure out what the answer is, and they'll tell you, and you have to do it. But there's like a timer running, and so you have to do it before the bomb explodes. It just looks like a crazy amount of fun.
It sounds like a good concept that'll actually make a good multiplayer experience for, like, PlayStation VR in the house, like in the living room, if the people can see the PDF on the screen, and you're in the headset defusing the bomb. It can be a good kind of multiplayer game, couch co-op type game.
Yeah, it's on Steam now. It's called Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, and it is on sale at the moment, 10% off. It's like $14, like $13.49 US. So go check that out. Super interesting game. I'm really tempted to buy it and play it with some friends one night. I think it's
already out, but it's a VR game.
Yeah, but you don't have to play with VR. You can just play it on the PC.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this game? It's an iOS game. It's called Space Team.
No.
It's a free game, and I played it like a year ago, and that's exactly what that game reminded me of. Like, basically, you log onto your iPad or iPhone or whatever, and then everyone plays like a certain role on a spaceship, and people can do certain things, and you have to tell them like what knobs to turn, what switches to flip, and they're like not just a regular switch. Like, they have funny names like Techno Babble or just some super
Copernicus Crane and the Lifters.
Like, all right, crank the Techno Babble to level 5 or something like.
And the spring loaded irritant.
Yeah, so you all need to, like, cooperate.
I'm reading things.
Like, push all the buttons and flip the switches, otherwise the spaceship will like explode or something.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. This looks pretty cool. I'm gonna check that out too.
It's fun. You got to get a group of 4 people and play it. It's really fun. When I watched the video that your friend posted for that Don't Stop Talking, I was like, oh, this is exactly like that space.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm going to try out both of these games. Yeah. It'll be a cool game to play one night with some friends over. Addison, how about you, man? What have you been playing?
So I played a little bit of the Battlefront beta, which I'm sure we will talk about in a bit. I beat Lightning Return, Final Fantasy XIII.
Whoa, how many hours?
I'm a trophy hunter, so I was going for all the trophies. So all in all, it took me around 40-ish, 40 to 60.
Wait, you got all the trophies?
Of course.
Wow.
In 40 hours, that's not super long considering it's a JRPG.
And I gotta say, the ending, one of the best endings to a video game probably I've ever played through. Easily one of the best Final Fantasy endings, because in my opinion, most Final Fantasy endings are garbage compared to the game story itself. But the ending of 13 Lightning Returns was really good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Not as good as, obviously, like The Last of Us, that level, but it's definitely very high on my list of video game endings.
Does it bring some closure to the series?
Yes, it brings complete closure in one of the coolest ways possible, I thought.
Awesome. That is, wow, it kind of makes me regret not actually trying that out.
Unfortunately, the game itself, you can give or take if you like the game. If you like side quests, that's the game for you, because 90% of the game is like side quests.
It's side quest the game.
It, basically. besides that, if you can get past that, the combat's good. I've talked about it before, and the ending was just on point. I loved it.
Awesome. Matt, how about you?
I've been playing a lot of Destiny, the Taken King.
Yeah.
And been loving it. Lots of fun multiplayer action, lots of late nights with the boys online. Tons of fun. Also, I played a ton of Battlefront. I guess we'll talk about that together in a bit.
Yeah.
And I was checking out the Uncharted demo just to see how it looks on the PS4, and it looks amazing and plays just like I remember, so I'll be picking that up also.
Let me ask you, the demo, is that the demo? It just includes a part of which of the three games?
It's from Uncharted 2. It's the level with the attack helicopter.
Oh, I see.
When you're going through the buildings and the helicopter is blowing up the building while you go through.
Oh, yeah. That's a good section. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, it's
man.
Definitely a good vertical slice of the game, and the bump in textures and quality and the 60 frames per second, it's really noticeable. It's so smooth.
Yeah, we talked about it briefly last week, and it seems like Bluepoint did like a bang up job to bring this game to PS4. They went over and above what was expected of them, and just smoothed out a lot of the kind of rough edges, especially for the first game. And, just made the second and third game look as good as you remember it, but with, 1080p, 60 frames per second. I'm tempted. I think if I see it in physical copy of it, I might just pick it up, since it'll be nice to have all three on one disc,
Yeah, exactly. It's a great collection.
I remember people were talking about the loading times that are, really bad. Were they just exaggerating? Because, people, right when it came out there, I saw a lot of negative reviews, and I was like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't get it.
The loading time for the demo level that I played was comparable to the original, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the loading times, like, on the PS3 were, they weren't really long, but they're long enough.
They're pretty lengthy, I remember.
Yeah, for the amount of content that it was loading in for each level, some of the levels are quite big set pieces, so.
So has it been getting overall pretty positive reviews? Oh wait, no, never mind.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah,
it's been getting really positive reviews.
Yeah, the core collection is some of the best games that were on the PS3 by far. So.
Awesome.
It's the same. It just looks a lot prettier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, let's start talking about the topics here for tonight. First, I want to mention that. A while ago, we talked about the price drop happening in Japan. Thomas was here. He talked to us. He said someone tipped him off, or one of the store owners from the store he used to go to said, well, they're actually dropping the price in November for the PS4. It came out that, yes, it's happening in Japan as well. And then a little bit later, not too long ago, we heard that the U.S. is getting a price drop, and they're selling it for $350, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and,
that's correct.
And now I heard some people have said you can already buy the PS5, the PS4 at its new price, which is $10,980. So that's good to hear. That's down from $12,980, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a nice $2,000 off of new PS4, which is awesome. If you don't have a PS4 yet, man, you're interested, It's a really good price point to jump in on the PS4 at this point. There's lots of good stuff coming out. This year so far has been a very good year for the PS4, and actually for all the consoles. It's been a good year for gaming overall. Still like a bunch of excellent games coming out later in the year, so if you want to play any of those, you know, stop hesitating and get it, you know. Just do it, you know.
Yeah. And they also have the Uncharted PS4 bundle, so right away you can have your PS4 and three great games.
Is that available in Taiwan yet?
I'm not sure if it's up in Taiwan yet, but it should be soon.
It should be, right? I mean, if the new price is out, the game is out, and I'm sure it's on retail already.
It's available in other regions, so it should be here soon if it's not yet.
I can't see why not. I will look into it in a bit. I'm pretty sure I could be able to find some bundle information here somewhere. Anyway, so it's good to hear if you're looking to get a new console. If you haven't jumped in on it yet, if you're a dedicated PC gamer, you've been thinking, maybe there's some games you'd like to play on PS4, and there's already a lot of TEG guys playing on PS4. Big Destiny group, come join us and get a PS4. It's a good system. You won't regret it.
The future of it is very bright.
What's that, Addison?
The future of the PS4 is very bright. It has been a good year, but I think next year will be even better.
Yeah, there's some good stuff coming out next year.
It's already outpacing the PS2, so.
Which is crazy to think. Because
PS2 that's super
sold
crazy.
Super well, yeah. Anyway, let's look at the next topic and talk about Metal Gear Solid 5 here for a bit. A few things I want to talk about. First of all, an article on VentureBeat.com said that Metal Gear Solid 5 had a better opening day than The Avengers Age of Ultron, the film, which is crazy to think about. Like, that game, that movie was super, I remember in Taiwan, I think we got to see it a little bit earlier than the rest of the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Like a week early.
Yeah, which is really cool. And it says here the Phantom Pain made $179 million globally on its opening day, according to Adobe Digital Index new report on gaming trends. I'm reading the VentureBeat article here, by the way. Compared to the blockbuster Avengers Age of Ultron, which made $84 million globally on its opening day. So that's pretty crazy. Also considering that it cost $80 million to make Metal Gear Solid 5, whereas Age of Ultron had a budget of $250 million. That is a crazy amount of money for a film. Can you just imagine that? $250 million to make a film.
So did that also dethrone Grand Theft Auto 5? Because I know that had the title of the highest grossing media release ever.
It did not say. It did not really
compare. That number sounds higher, though, from what I remember.
I wouldn't be surprised, which is good. I'm glad this game, it's Kojima's, swan song, his Metal Gear swan song. So I'm glad it's selling pretty well. There have been some reports of the Metal Gear Online, which recently went live, not functioning as well in its opening week and a half, two weeks, if I'm not mistaken. People have not been happy about the state of the online features. Konami has responded, I think, and given some people like extra XP, online XP. I'm not exactly sure the full extent of what happened.
Well, one of the issues with the online is that you're forced to take part in it, even if you don't want to.
Explain this part to me, Matt, because I quickly read the post that Thomas shared on the NeoGAF thread, where it says it taxes you from your, because in the game, for those of you who don't know, Michael, you guys are in the game and you're collecting, diamonds and stuff throughout your adventure in this game. And you're spending this credits on, building up your mother base and, developing weapons, and pretty much everything you do costs money. But you generally get, quite a bit of money in the game. I hardly felt like I was strapped for cash. You know, if you're playing regularly and you're doing some side missions, you're always going to have enough money to, you know, develop what you need. But now it sounds like if you agree to some of if you're logging into the game, there are some of these messages they have to agree to keep playing online. If you agree to them, it apparently it taxes you and it takes some of your GMP, which is the currency. It takes some of it away on a daily basis or something. I'm not exactly sure. Details are sketchy, but Matt, do you have anything to say about this? You know anything
more?
Well,
what Thomas posted is a new issue that just popped up that somebody was trying to report on, but the persistent issue for the last few weeks has been after you get to a certain mission, I think it's mission 22, and then you have to take part in building your actual base.
Yeah.
People that are playing online can come and steal stuff from you even when you're not playing the game, like even when your PS4 is off. They can go to your base and steal your stuff, even if you don't want to participate in the online side of the game. You have no choice. Like they can just come and take your things. So you might log in and all your money's gone, or like your resources are depleted because somebody was just ravaging your mother base while you were sleeping.
So I mean, can they literally steal all your online currency? Is that something that can happen?
Yeah, people have reported logging on and like having all their GMP is just gone, like being in the negative numbers.
But then don't play online, right?
No, but that's what Matt is saying. You can't avoid it.
Yeah, after a certain level, after a certain mission, it forces you to do that, like to make you take part in that, even if you don't want to. So it basically wrecks the single-player game after a certain point.
That is troubling.
I'm speechless. How is this a good design decision at all?
Well, they want people to spend the money to buy the stuff for your mother base for online, right? So it's kind of like... Yeah, it's like it's no longer just a single player game. They're forcing you to take part in something even if you don't want to do it, which really sucks.
Well, they're sure doing a really good job of trying to talk me out of buying the game eventually.
Oh, that's what I was saying to Thomas the other day when we were talking about it, is that if I log in to play the single player and all my money's gone, I'm taking it out and selling it that day. Like, that's not good.
Sorry, Matt, you haven't gotten to the part where you do the FOB base construction, right?
No, from what I understand, it's mission 22, and I'm almost there, but not there yet. So
I mean,
we'll see.
I've like jumped around. There's some missions you can do. You don't have to do them specifically in order, right? And I think I've seen mission 22 pop up on my game. I just haven't done it yet. I hope there is a way around this, so we don't actually have to go through the mission 22. That there's a way to skip it altogether. I'm going to try and avoid it for now, which because we were all talking about this online thing. We were all like, yeah, most of us, and I remember Thomas also say, is not really interested in the online portion of this game at all. I'm reading some of the comments on the NeoGAF thread. It says, the guy said, last night I declined to purchase a new FOB location. The disc ejected itself violently from my PS4 and killed my dog. I won't be it. Anyway, yeah, it seems like people are pretty angry, and someone posted the Konami strategy and planning image that was released a while ago word came out that Konami and Kojima had some falling out, and it's a thing. 2015 strategy and planning, Konami internal use only. It says, "F Hideo Kojima, F Metal Gear Solid, F Silent Hill, F it, F you." It's pretty funny.
It's true though. It's like maybe that's what the falling out had to do with.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't happy about the direction they wanted to take it.
That's horrible. Now the fully. It's weird that this kind of thing. Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, reviews of this game are out already. People already probably bought it, and a lot of people probably won't buy it because of this. If this is a real issue, as they say it is, I mean, I haven't experienced this personally, but if this is a real issue and this happens, then this is a very big reason for people not to buy this game. It's not like, oh, yeah, the graphics are kind of stupid, or, you know, or the controls are kind of clunky, that kind of issue. This is like a serious, like, deal breaker. You know what I mean?
I'm not exaggerating when I say, like, if I go to play that game and all my stuff has been stolen, even though I don't want to play online, then I'm not going to play any more of it. I'll just sell it.
If you know Jim Sterling and you follow his videos with Jim Position, you know he is very outspoken about his dislike for Konami.
Yeah.
Someone posted a comment that saying, is Konami actively trying to get Jim Sterling to constantly say stuff about them in his videos? I was like, yeah. I'd love to hear Jim Sterling's comments on this latest Konami issue.
I'm sure we will hear something from him.
Yeah, he's not the kind of guy that keeps quiet about this kind of thing.
No.
So, anyway, let's move on. Matt, I want to keep you on here for a bit and talk about Battlefront. So as most of you know, the Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront beta was open for everyone, pretty much. Recently, and apparently they extended the beta for a few more days. Addison, you said you also tried it out. Matt, you played it. I played it. I played a little bit of it. I just want to, before we get into the impressions here, I'm just going to read this one article in Eurogamer. It says, how many people played the Star Wars Battlefront beta? It says, more than 9 million people jumped in on this beta. So that's pretty huge. That is actually a pretty good prediction, or I mean that's a good thing to know, you know, on the eve of when this game is, you know, being released. There's obviously a lot of interest in this game, a lot of buzz been created. The beta obviously helped a lot in most aspects. It probably will help sales in the long run. It says here more than 9 million people logged into and played the Star Wars Battlefront beta over the last few days, EA DICE has announced, making it senior producer Sigurlina Ivarstorov added the single largest beta in the history of EA, which is pretty cool. Matt, let's jump onto you. Tell us, how did you find the beta? High points, low points, how was it overall?
First of all, I'll just say that I played a ton of it. I played pretty much all weekend, and when I wasn't playing that, I was playing Destiny. But speaking about Battlefront, the pros right off the bat are it's gorgeous. It sounds amazing, and it looks amazing, and it feels like you are part of Star Wars universe, more so than any other game I've ever played of Star Wars in the past.
Yeah.
They've nailed the look and the feel of it. I think the way that they did the design by going in and actually doing photo renders of the actual props from the movies, it just sells it 100%. The gunplay is top-notch, just like you would expect from Battlefield. Yeah. So it's not like, I would consider Destiny more of an arcade-type shooter, whereas Battlefield and Battlefront, it has a bit more realism to it. Other than the fact you're shooting blasters in this one.
I kind of felt like, I actually felt like it felt a little bit arcadey from the way I was playing it. I mean, I only played the first map, which is all on foot, and you're shooting the blasters and things. You die pretty quickly, which I guess is why you're saying it's a little bit more realistic. But I kind of felt like the action was pretty quick, and it was almost more akin to a Call of Duty, I dare say, without being crucified here by some people. But I feel like, you know, you're running and gunning pretty quickly. You're immediately on foot, and you're rushing, and it's just a massive shootout, at least on the map that I played.
If you go in playing even Battlefield the same way that you would play another shooter, like you mentioned, Call of Duty or Destiny, you're going to die right away.
Yeah.
It's more of a cover-based mechanics and not just run and gun as fast as you can. Like, you got to play a bit smarter to stay alive longer, which makes it interesting, makes it more fun. Mm-hmm. But I thought they did an amazing job with the weapons that they just let you play around with right now in the beta. They all felt solid to me. So I'm super excited to pick it up. It does have some downfalls, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't like how you have to go and pick up tokens to grab ships or to become a hero on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. I would much rather be able to just spawn into a vehicle, especially if you're playing with somebody, like to have two people in an AT-AT or two people in an AT-ST, something like that. More like Battlefield would be better, I think. The vehicles are really well done. running around in AT-ST feels amazing, and it's tons of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't like that, as a rebel, you can't commandeer one of the Imperial vehicles, which is like something that has actually happened in the plots of Star Wars movies in the past, so
yeah.
Not being able to do that is kind of strange. So, other than that, though, I really like what they've done with it. I think they exceeded my expectations for what they were going to do, so I'm super excited to grab it when it comes out.
Awesome. Addison, how about you? What did you think of the Battlefront beta?
Matt and I are kind of on the same wavelength here, so I'm going to piggyback off of him. The graphics are super good, way better than I expected.
Yeah.
I can be dumbed down from the videos we've seen, but they are really good. I love the sound, how it really immerses you. You feel like you're playing a Star Wars game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything about it feels like Star Wars to me. As far as the actual gameplay, it was solid. I am a big fan of Battlefield and DICE, so it fit right in with me. All the guns felt really nice. Vehicles could have been controlled a little bit better, I think, but it wasn't atrocious. And I agree with Matt in that the power-up, how that works, how you grab a power-up to get into a vehicle, I don't like that. You should just be able to jump into a vehicle if you can. Because minimizing these power-up spawns and waiting for them to appear, and then that's when you get your vehicle, that's not working for me. I'm fine with power-ups for the other things, you know, like the hero mode and whatnot, but I don't like vehicles for sure. And I didn't try to commandeer another team's vehicle, so I didn't know if you could or couldn't do that. But if you can't, that's pretty disappointing. It would have been awesome if you could, you know, hijack something else.
Hijack.
I think that would be, it would add a lot of more depth to it to be able to do that.
Yeah, it would add a ton of depth. And my biggest complaint was something that they announced just recently, and they could still reverse course on it, but it says that there's going to be no in-game chat with your party.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't understand that. I criticize Splatoon heavily for it, and I'm going to equally criticize Battlefront it. Battlefront more so because it's made by DICE, who has done this for every game since.
So, I mean, I want to ask you, is this a big issue? Because, I mean, you're probably going to play mostly with your friends and be able to use the PS4 or Xbox One's, you know, in-game voice chat. Why is this a big deal?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to throw this out there. Making the comparison with Splatoon is not very fair because there's no actual chat client on the Wii U at all. So you got to like use your cell phone or computer and use Skype or something. So I think the PS4 chat functionality works good enough for that experience. But it is a missed step, I think, coming from Battlefield 4.
Yeah, it's true. I probably shouldn't criticize it as heavily as I would Splatoon, but with a game like Battlefront, which has clear objectives, you just want to play with randoms, and one of the biggest complaints about the beta was that they said the Walker Assault was imbalanced, and everybody would just ignore objectives. Well, if we had voice chat, it'd be at least possible to coordinate something like that. Right now, when I first jumped into the Rebel Assault, I had no idea what was going on, because the objectives were not clearly defined. If somebody was talking and at least somewhat, I mean, obviously a lot of people online are a-holes, but if somebody was at least trying to point me in the direction of what I needed to do, I just don't see why not. Why not have voice chat? Is the game pushing the limits that much where you can't have voice chat or something?
Yeah, that is weird omission for sure.
I think it this adds to my theory that I had a few podcasts ago about Battlefront, and that the reason there's no server matchmaking and now this is that they're trying to get this out the door. They want this out before the movie drops. Mm-hmm. They don't want to delay it. And I think you might see something like that patched in at a later date once they get it finished.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask, yeah.
Now because with the server selection and matchmaking not being there, like that's way bigger to me than the voice chat not being there, just because there's the voice chat client on PS4 already.
Yeah.
So thinking about it, we just mentioned how 9 million people played it, and I don't know about you guys, but I had no issues finding a game. I had no connection issues. So it was a very solid beta for 9 million people and had no problems. Maybe it is because no voice chat, no server.
Yeah. It was quick to load. Like I hit X to jump into a match, and it was a few seconds, and I was in playing.
Yeah, I gotta say, if there's one thing I could take away from the beta also, I was surprised, it being a beta, how smooth it ran. I'm like, yeah. I'm enjoying the game, and I'm like waiting for stuff to start. Oh, man, the game, what the hell? That was like, you know, 2 minutes from pressing start, you know? It was so super quick. I was actually like, the game was already loaded, and I just actually had to jump in, you know? My little, you know, avatar guy was like standing there, and like, I could have just like started the game, and I was for some reason just waiting for this for something to tell me, hey, you can play the game now, but it was ready. So
yeah, and like the performance wise, I had the same experience. The only frame drops or lag I had were on the extended final day, and like they said in advance that they were extending it, and you would experience those things because they were stress testing stuff. So other than that, for the first 4 days, it was perfect. It was great. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I forgot that was one game I actually played too, and I'm gonna side with Johan on this. Like I felt it was kind of like a big Battlefield too, and people were just like running in to like the objectives and dying. But part of it too is I've only played like one or two matches, so I don't think I can really say much about it. But like I didn't play it like how I usually would with Battlefield. Like Battlefield, I like spawn with a squad, and I typically stay with like a certain group of people, but this beta, I just kind of jumped in and like tried to tackle the objectives, and I was just like, oh, it's fun, but, and not exactly like Call of Duty, but like it was almost getting there. I was like, oh, it's just a giant battlefield, tons of people. I keep meeting like new people, and I keep dying and spawning. I was just like, this is a little overwhelming.
Now that you mention that, I do have to agree that they should have some sort of squad system like Battlefield 4. Whereas, even if you join the game solo, you can still jump onto like a 4-person squad, or and there's multiple squads. Yeah, something like that would actually benefit it.
So there was no squads, because I saw that you could like spawn on a buddy. I kind of assumed it was like grouping me with some people.
You can choose one person to be a partner.
Oh, I see.
It can be a random, or it can be one of your friends.
What I like about that with the buddy system, it'd be cool if they expanded it to squad of four. Mm. With the buddy system, you could actually use their loadout too. So I was level zero when I started, and my buddy was like level 10 or something, and he had everything. So I used his loadout, and I got all these power-ups that I didn't have yet. It was kind of nice.
Same thing with me. I was like, oh, this is my first game, and they're like, oh, you should do this and this before you jump in. I was like, no, that's right. And then I jumped in. And after I died, I was like, I can spawn on someone? And then I spawned, I was like, great, I have an awesome loadout, and I'm just going to stick with this guy the whole time.
Speaking about the loadout, I think it's really smart the way they did the perk system with the cards, because you got to really choose. Like I was making a tough decision between the rocket pack or thermal grenades, and like, because I really like the sniper rifle they give you.
So. Matt, can you explain how that works?
Basically, you collect cards, and you can load 3 cards per hand, and then you just choose which hand you want to load before you go into the match.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So there's only 3 slots, and there's some really cool gear just in the beta, so I can't wait to see what's in the full game.
Are there a couple of cards you can't use in conjunction with other ones, or you just mean you had a few already that were kind of your staples, but you couldn't choose like your third one? Is that kind of what you meant?
Yeah, like you have a card as a booster that boosts your primary weapon when you find booster icons in the map. And then I had loaded up on my R1, a sniper rifle. Mm-hmm. So I had my L1 slot free, but I wanted a thermal grenade and the rocket pack. So I had to pick and choose between.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, so it's kind of smart that it limits you to 3 cards. Mm-hmm. So, but I like it. It's really good the way they have the collecting of the cards. I like that.
Matt, I was wondering, did you ever get to play as Darth Vader or Luke?
I played as Luke, and I got a 10 kill streak, which was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's really fun playing as the heroes. I didn't play as Darth Vader. The heroes, when you play, you have a timer and a health. So if you don't die, you only get about 90 seconds until the character just taps out. Or if you get killed, then you could die sooner.
Luke is like, that's it. I can't do it anymore. 90 seconds of this. I'm going to Tashi Station. I'm going to go pick up some power converters. Screw this battlefield.
Yeah.
Flies away.
I think my favorite part of this beta was all the funny videos that people made. The fan videos. There was tons of them that
appeared.
And can we talk about how freaking awesome the thermal imploder is?
Yes.
That is such a cool grenade. I couldn't believe it, how awesome that effect and the sound is. It just works.
Yeah, that's what was blowing me away is the visuals and just the sound. The sound design on the game is beautiful.
Yeah, like,
if you play it surround sound, oh my god. Huh. It's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah, I just played with headphones on and it felt like I was in the movie. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I was looking up and seeing the TIE fighters and the X-Wings like just duking it out. And because in the beginning I jumped in and I'm just kind of focusing on what's happening right in front of me. But at some point I was looking up and like, holy crap, there's all like battle happening above me. And obviously that's like scripted. So it's not actually people fighting it. But the illusion of it like totally sold me. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. It looked so cool. Like really puts you in the mood.
You mean with the Star Destroyers and stuff?
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. They've done a great job at representing Star Wars for what it is.
So, earlier I was talking about the videos, and that's kind of funny what you were just saying now. Someone was saying, like, oh yeah, the game's totally accurate according to the movies, and it shows, like, this video of this guy, he's just staring off in the distance, and stormtroopers are shooting at him, and then he looks down at his feet, looks back up. The entire time, the lasers are just whipping it, and not a single one is hitting him.
Totally.
To myself, I was like, wow, I really am a stormtrooper. I can't hit anything.
Yeah, the stormtroopers don't really have a good reputation for actually shooting. So they shoot walls and floor and other stuff around, but they don't actually hit their targets ever, or very rarely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the complaints was, like they said, the Walker Assault was pretty unbalanced. They said playing as the Rebels is almost impossible to win. But then someone said, you know what? In the movie, when the Walker Assault happens, the Rebels also lose. It's kind of canon, you know? Can't get around that.
I'm sure they'll level that out a bit more. It was very one-sided.
Yeah,
Every time we played as Imperials, we won. And we only won sometimes as Rebels, so...
Yeah, there was a tweet that came out that said, yeah, no, they've realized in the beta, it's one of the things that they noticed, and, you know, they're definitely going to change that and, you know, balance it out for the full game. So
I didn't have that problem. I played as the Rebels. I didn't play a ton of games, so my sample size isn't huge. I never lost the Walker Assault, and I played as the Rebels more than I played as the Imperials. And when I saw, like, what my team was doing, I was like, wow, this is super cool. The first time we had the Y-Wings come in, we had literally maybe two or three people not shooting the same AT-AT, and there was just hundreds of bullets flying at it, and you could just see that thing's health was dropping. And we killed it after maybe one and a half Y-bomber assaults. So if you focus on the objectives and have a team that knows what they're doing, like any game, I guess, I don't think it's super imbalanced. I just don't think people knew what they were doing half the time.
Yeah, that's kind of like what you were saying, Johan, how like some people just jump in and you just don't know what's going on and you don't know what the objectives are. So that one is very, if the Rebels don't get those uplinks, then you're going to lose every time. It's just you're not going to win. It's not possible. So,
all right, so let me ask you guys. I want to go around and ask you, are you guys going to buy it or not? How do you feel? Is it a definite? Is it a maybe? Mike, let's start with you. How do you feel? Definite picking it up or not? Maybe.
I will not get it. It's nothing. I don't know. I just wasn't like super impressed with it. I feel like I enjoyed Battlefield more actually. But Dominic's gonna get it, and so he game shares with me. So I will be able to play it, and I will play it. But I myself would not pick it up. I'm glad that someone's gonna buy it though.
Addison, you sound more convinced that you're going to get it.
Actually, you'd be surprised at my answer. I want to for the reasons that I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I love the immersion. The sound, the graphics looks great. The points against it are I would have liked to have just a little bit more single-player components rather than just the Horde mode type things they have. And the season pass that they announced for $50 kind of scared me because that's very well known for doing Battlefield Ultimate Editions, where it comes with all the DLC, and I was like, well, I can maybe just wait for that and play it at Mike's house or something in the meantime.
Mm.
So I'm on the fence right now. Just because of the time of year it comes out, I'm not going to get Fallout 4 right away. I might pick it up just because I haven't bought a new game in a while. So We'll see.
Speaking about that, if they do it like the premium edition of Battlefield 4, then it's a good deal. Like, I picked up the premium edition of launch on Battlefield 4, and I was still getting content like a few months ago. So,
wow.
Yeah. So if they can do it like that, where it's not just a very limited amount of content, then it'll be worth it, I think, for the premium edition.
So Matt, is that a yes? You're gonna pick this up?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna buy it. Yeah. Whether or not it has the legs to keep going for me, like Battlefield did or like Destiny does, is a different thing. I don't know yet, but I'm too much of a Star Wars fan to not get it. It's just exactly what I've always wanted in a Star Wars game.
I'm like on the fence at the moment as well. Like, I think if I see some more maps, if I see some speeder chases, you know, in some different locations, I might be convinced to buy it. Just for the nostalgia factor, I think I'll probably buy it. On nostalgia factor. And I mean, if a bunch of you guys are playing it as well, it'll always be fun. I think that's probably the biggest factors. If we have four or five people on my PSN playing it like a bunch, I'll be like, damn it. Okay, I guess I'm not playing Destiny anymore. I'll jump and, you know, start focusing on this, you know. So that's not that.
Did you guys play the other maps on the beta or just the Hoth one?
No, I just played the first one, which is just the... I didn't even play the Hoth, the Walker Assault one.
Oh, you just played the Drop Zone one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because they also had the single player, like, Horde mode, which was pretty good.
Yeah, I did not actually check that out. But, I mean, like I said, I want to go check it out. I'll wait for the reviews. I really liked what I played. And so far it sounds, at least from what you guys have said, it sounds, you know, promising. So, and I'll check it out when the reviews come out and, you know, want to see one or two more maps that they're going to include and before I'm sold on it.
I think it's going to have a really solid launch. And then after the movie comes out in December, I think the sales are going to go through the roof.
Yeah, that's definitely going to help. It won't hurt that there's a massive movie coming out.
And you get the battle from the movie as one of the maps, too.
Yeah.
If they include a free ticket to go see the movie with the game.
I don't think hold your breath, Addison.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
EA is going to ship you a ticket. Say, hey, man, we'll see you anytime. Here's a free popcorn with it. You know,
Question for Matt. Did you like Battlefield Bad Company 2?
Bad Company 2? I only played a little bit of it.
Huh?
But Battlefield 4, like, I put in well over 100 hours, so.
I personally enjoy the Bad Company games a lot more.
Me too. I think my favorite, like, Battlefield game would be the Bad Company 2.
Yeah, that it was fantastic. And
did you play it for the story or like for the multiplayer?
For the multiplayer.
I did both, and I actually enjoyed both parts of it.
The story was good, but...
And then on cliffhanger, wait for three.
For some reason, I kept going back to the multiplayer. I was like, I can't stop playing this. Multiplayer is just so much fun. Yeah.
That's how I was with Battlefield 4. I've never even played the story missions on it.
No.
So when they said there was no real campaign for Battlefront, I wasn't too concerned because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hyped for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at the last topic, and we're jumping back on Destiny. I apologize if we have been talking a lot about Destiny. It's just Destiny is hot right now again, and we've all been playing it. Most of us have been playing it. Obviously, Addison, you are not. You've been playing more Last of Us, I see, and Rocket League. But the rest of us, while you've been playing that, we've been playing Destiny most of the time. A new patch came out yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, which included a new currency, a new vendor, which you can buy new emotes and dances and so on from. Did you guys check these out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got some emotes already rocking. We've been messing around with them.
They're pretty funny. I like laughed out loud, like physically laughed out loud when I saw the Matrix one where she was like standing up straight and like doing the hand like wave, like waving, come over here kind of thing. That was so good. And it had the Carlton dance from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I thought that was amazing. Yeah. That was so funny. So do you guys buy some emotes?
They give you 400 free silver, so it's enough to buy two blue emotes, but the legendary ones are 500 apiece, so yeah. You have to actually pay some money to get those.
So this is a new thing, right? It's they're including this new currency, which you will need to take out your wallet and spend some real hard-earned cash on the silver. Does anyone of you know what the exchange rate is? How many... How many silver do you get?
I believe it's 500 silver for 5 US dollars, and then you can get 1,000 silver plus an extra bonus one coin for $10.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So, are you
definitely
guys...
mobile pricing.
Yeah,
it does seem a little bit mobile-ish, you know. I think I don't have a problem with this patch. We talked about it a while ago on the podcast. We said, you know, if they're only selling, like, emotes and that kind of thing, it's not actually affecting the game. But now it seems like some data miners went in, extracted some information out of the patch, and things have been discovered, such as a boost that allows the drop rate. It boosts the drop rate for the King's Fall, the weapon drop rate for the King's Fall raid, which has a lot of people quite upset. Matt, how do you feel about this? Is this something you...
I don't want to get started on the raid, because I've done the raid twice. We haven't completed it, but I've gotten to the same spot twice now, and both times I got the exact same gear drops. So I've already kind of hit that glass ceiling of the raid where I'm not leveling up if I don't get raid drops. And so far, it's kind of like a repeat of Vanilla Destiny where I'm either not getting anything or they're giving me the exact same gear I already have, which is pointless for me. So
how do you feel about if they sell like a 3 of coins kind of effect that will help you, that will boost your drop rates? Would you buy it? Would you feel it? It'll affect the game by, you know, where people are just going to drop a bunch of money on, you know, this new item.
I think if the option is there, like, to get that buff also by doing something in-game, then I'm okay with it. Like, if you can grind it out and get it naturally through the game, or if somebody buys it, then I'm okay with that.
What's
but if it's, like, if it's something that's only available to be purchased with silver, then that's not good.
So how many strange coins do you feel is a fair trade for something like this?
For a buff on the raid?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I would
Mike,
say
what do you think?
Maybe 5.
5?
Probably like the same as the exotic engram, the 3 of coins. Like it's not
No, not for raid gear, though.
Well, I mean, it's not like a for sure thing that it's going to work.
No, it's not, but you can pop 1 3 of coins and get a really nice exotic. So if you're going to get some nice raid gear, like if it's a buff for the entire raid, all the checkpoints, then I would say at least 1 3 of coins per checkpoint.
Interesting.
Probably about right. Like, you know, with my luck, I use 3 of coins. I've used like 20 of them, and I've only gotten like 2 exotics. Like,
yeah.
I've also used a couple, not very gotten much, so...
Yeah.
I haven't been super successful for it. Some other things have been found. Another item that would be like, what is it's called, similar to what the Spark was that you got for free if you bought the Destiny Taken King. I think it's for everyone who bought the Taken King, or, you know, that it boosts your character, a new character, up to level 25. That's something I don't really mind, you know, paying for. You know, if you want to start a new character, you don't really want to grind it out until 25, you know. If you're missing, like, one more of the classes, say you've got a Warlock and a Titan and you want to get the Hunter up to 25, I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, dropping just, like, $1 or $2 on getting this item. You know, it doesn't really affect me. At most, you'll spend one of those. Unless you somehow didn't or deleted one of your characters and you want to make a new one. I don't really object to that. How do you guys feel about that item?
I don't mind it. Like, as long as you're able to do it on your own in the game and grind it out and do it, like, if you want the option just to pay money and just unlock it, then I'm okay with that.
The last thing I saw, what was the other item? I just slipped my mind now.
There was one to max out your subclass just instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
But are you paying money for this? So this will probably affect the game a little bit more than just getting your character up to 25.
Now, the thing that just the main concern for me is that if they do this and then they find success with it and then they patch Destiny so that it's harder to do it on your own in the game, so you just give in and just pay to do it. If they make it so it's more difficult to level up or to max out your subclass in the game, like if they make it more of a grind just for the hopes that you might pay in, then that sucks. That's not good at all.
I mean, I feel like I have to give it to Bungie, though. They have been pretty good with responding to player feedback. I don't expect something like this will happen. There's already been a tweet out, sent out, saying, you know, I forgot who it was. One of the guys involved in Destiny said, you know, they won't sell this item. Even though the data miners discovered this thing, it's Luke Smith from Bungie said, we aren't and not planning to on selling consumables that buff the King's Fall drop rates for silver. So he just flat out said it's not going to happen. Do you think they'll go back on their word and actually do this?
I think if they get too much pressure from Activision Blizzard, then they might have to give in eventually and do something.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think about it. Like, this is basically, it's an MMO at its heart.
Yeah.
And it's fully online, and there's no monthly subscription. So they need some sort of revenue stream to keep the servers going, to keep people making content, to just keep it going.
I mean, there isn't any new content planned for the rest of the year or even for the next year, as far as I know, right? I don't know if you guys know anything about it.
No, they did say that anything that comes out is just going to be free. It won't be DLC packs. It'll just be free stories and stuff.
Okay. Well, I really hope for the future of, you know, Destiny fans that this doesn't spiral out of control and that Bungie caves and start, you know, making this, you know, let the game be affected by you know, microtransactions too much.
See, it just depends on how they do it. Like, if I'm used to Battlefield 4, you guys must be familiar having played it, where you can either grind it out and unlock stuff, or you can just go and buy, like, the shotgun pack with fully maxed shotguns. Like, you can buy anything or level out anything with cash in Battlefield 4, and it didn't really make that big of a difference to me. But Destiny is more of, like, almost like Pokemon, where you got to collect them all. So if you can just start buying exotics, then people are going to be pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's Diablo 3, isn't it? In Diablo 3, you could buy, like, the best weapons with real money, couldn't you? And that kind of ruined that game completely.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And, I mean, Blizzard soon... I mean, it wasn't you could buy the best game. I guess if people sold it on the marketplace, the Diablo 3 marketplace, then yes, you could technically buy it. But Blizzard really, after the first year, they realized they made a huge mistake and they took away the whole marketplace deal, and there's no real money marketplace in Diablo as of now, as far as I remember. So hope Destiny doesn't make the same mistake. It'll be really sad.
Just to speak about it again for the Taken King, I just want to say that it's the most fun I've had playing games with people in a long time. Like when we do raids and stuff, we have so much fun. Like it's just a good time.
Yeah, so I haven't even played.
I really hope they don't break it.
Yeah, I haven't even played as much as you guys, but I've also had a ton of fun. You know,
even when we were playing together, like, we just have fun. It's just fun. It's a fun social. Even if we're just screwing around, it's just fun.
Yeah, like, we're just running around after the raid. We're just sitting around and pointing at each other last night.
This
is awesome. I was, like, having so much fun.
Yeah, it is cool. It's cool that there's such an active, you know, Destiny community here. Most of us are TEG guys. Anyway, speaking of TEG guys, I want to move on. We're about an hour into the podcast, and I want to start just before we end the show tonight. I want to do what I'm going to do for the next couple of weeks is something new I want to introduce, and it's a little TEG community shout-out. I want to shout-out to some YouTubers and Twitch streamers and so on from the TEG community. I know there's a bunch of guys, advertising on the Facebook group, and I want to give them a little shout-out for their hard work. There's some guys that are streaming like a lot and putting out tons of videos. Matt, you included, you have the Fresh Fix Gaming, so I'm going to start with you tonight. I mean, you have the Fresh Fix Gaming YouTube channel, and you got your every now and again you put out some new stuff on your Facebook page as well. Your Facebook page is pretty, there's a lot of content on there. Definitely want to follow. And then I want to just talk about one more guy tonight, and that's Rob Wayne. I'm sure you guys have seen Rob Wayne posting on the TEG Facebook group every now and again. His moniker, his online handle is Tricky D. He has a Twitch channel and a YouTube channel. You can find him on YouTube, Tricky D. It's T-R-I-C-K-I underscore capital D. He's on YouTube, and on Twitch he's the same. T-R-I-C-K-I underscore D, Twitch, after the D. And he does mostly FIFA videos. I watch some of his videos. He's got a real personality. These videos are well produced. He puts out a ton of FIFA videos. I saw in the last couple of weeks he's putting out like quite a bit of videos. He's obviously working hard on this channel, and he's got quite a bit of subscribers already, but just a little shout out to you, Rob Wayne, aka Tricky D. Go check him out, go find him on Twitch, go find him on YouTube. I believe his Twitter is also Tricky underscore D. Go find him there. Next week we're going to do another shout out for the community. If you are a streamer or YouTuber on the TEG group, and I haven't mentioned you, send me a message or post on the group, so you can send me a private message, or you'll know who I am, or you can send me or Mike on the TEG group. We're one of the only two admins on the group, so send either of us a message, and we'll make sure to give you guys a shout out.
Rob's a cool guy, but I don't approve of what he did with his consoles.
I was just going to say
that. Oh,
great guy, but no. Yeah,
no, we had a good debate. He's an awesome dude. We had a good debate about it because he felt that the FIFA community was more prevalent on Xbox One than PS4, so he sold his PS4 to get Xbox One, and we were giving him a good go with that.
I remember that incident. That was funny. But his responses were cool and calm, and he never took it really personally, and that's a cool attitude, I like it when people can take a beating and, take a bit of criticism and, handle it pretty well, and I thought he did,
He was straight up about it. It was good.
Anyway, I think that about does it for the show. Any last thoughts, you guys? Addison, any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, it's Mike's birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday. Mike, you going to party like it's your birthday?
Yeah.
You going to drink Bacardi like it's your birthday?
Dance party.
There's a package waiting for you at the postmaster. Moldering shards.
You can reference Destiny into anything. Got quite a talent.
Well, if it's really your birthday, you never know. I mean, if you've signed it into your account, you might get a little something special. You never know. Exotic engram. Mike is like booting up his PS4 now as you speak.
Decrypted to a green.
Yeah. Mike, any final thoughts?
Besides my birthday? No, I don't think so.
Cool, man. How about you, Matt?
Final thoughts? Not really, man. Not really. I'll see people online. If you want a game online with us, jump on and join us on Destiny or something else.
Yeah,
we always have a ton of fun. Like, it's always a good time.
Find us on PSN. You can find me at Jeevous, J-E-V-O-U-S. Addison, how about you? Where can people find you for some Rocket League or Last of Us?
Hey, you can invite me to other stuff and I'll play.
It's just not Destiny.
I'm like level 5. You can find me anywhere at L-A-N-T-U-M-I-C.
Like how that. Do you pronounce that? Lantimic?
Lantimic. However you want to spell it. Or people just call me LAN for short. I like LAN.
Mike, how about you? You have a long one.
On Xbox and Wii, Lukami, L-U-K-A-M-I, and PSN, I-U-K-A-M-I.
And Matt?
You can find me at DJ Schism on PSN, or just go to the community on PlayStation 4 and join the TEG podcast or TEG gamer group.
Yes.
And you can see when any of us are online, even if we're not friends yet. You can see and jump in and join us.
Speaking of which, my final thought is, why is there no search function for communities? How stupid is that?
It's so hard to find communities. You
it's impossible.
Find
yeah, so that, we better make it to the top 100.
That is, it's so hard. I try to find one of the most popular ones at the moment, which is the kind of funny one. And there's just, like, it just doesn't show up. I, like, scroll through that 100 groups, like, a bunch of times. Obviously, the kind of funny are the ex-IGN guys, Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty and those guys. And I try to find the group, and I just it's not there, you know. So how are you supposed to find it? It only shows, like, your friends' groups and your groups. But if neither of your friends are part of any of these groups, then, you know, how you find it? That's a huge oversight, I think, on Sony's account. I don't know why they didn't include it. So
I'm sure they'll patch it eventually.
Yeah, let's hope for that.
I have one more final thought.
Yeah.
Just to throw this out there for you guys. There's only 23 more days till Fallout 4 comes out.
Ooh. That is big. Another big, long-ass RPG to suck up all our time.
I expect you all to buy Life is Strange now that the final episode is coming out.
I promised you, man. As soon as the full pack is out, I'll buy it and play it.
Mike is going to hold it. Hold us to get to that thing. It's like, you promised. You said.
You know? No, I will. I'm kind of like that with media. Even with TV shows, I wait until the season's done so I can just go through it all. I don't want to sit and wait for like a few weeks to have to find out what happens next. So.
I said I'll definitely buy it if the last episode out. And it's on sale.
Wait to give our review for the last episode, because maybe it ends. Maybe it just falls and dies before.
It's like the last episode, Mike, will just be like this. It starts and then the girl gets killed immediately.
No closure.
You waited so long for it. They decided they ran out of money. You know, the series hasn't been doing so well, so they just released the game, and it's just like her like stepping out somewhere, like this truck falls on her or something ridiculous. Anyway, I think it was a good show, guys. I had fun. Hope you guys enjoyed talking with me and I, chatting with me, and I hope the listeners, enjoyed listening to the show. Thanks again for subscribing if you have. If you've not, go subscribe to us on iTunes or drop that RSS feed link there into your podcast clients or whatever you use to download this episode, iTunes or whatever. And yeah, I hope you guys have a good week and happy gaming. Until next week when we have another podcast episode, we'll see you guys then. Bye-bye.
See you later.
See you.
Bye-bye. Music.